That was Stevie Wonder with Maybe Your Baby from the album Talking Book. And there is a bit of a Kentucky connection there. The name Talking Book actually references the books that Stevie used to read, learn how to read Braille. And they came from the School of the Blind that's actually still there in Louisville, Kentucky. We had Betty Davis with Your Man, My Man. And we started that set off with Archie Bell and the Drells with Tighten Up. And we are celebrating the 5th year that this show, the Crunkadelic Funk Show, has been on WUKY, spending 5 years before that at WRFL. And I had to bring someone back with me for this particular show, as we have a couple of special days as well. The grandson of Johnny Otis and the son of Shuggie Otis, my good friend, Lucky Otis. Lucky, how are you?
What up, DB? How's you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. We are here to celebrate the, well, I guess yesterday was would have been, what, the 86th birthday of James Brown?
Can you believe that? I mean, and it's been since Christmas 06. So rest in peace. You know what I mean? When they say down and out in New York City, he actually had his funeral there, open casket on New Year's Eve. So anything but down and out, but basically down to earth, you know, just there for the people the whole time, man. Like I was blessed to get to meet him one time. It was what a great dude.
was that related to your grandfather at all?
Yes, because they were friends, you know, they were contemporaries. They didn't really get a chance to work together because James was always touring, and so was grandpa, but you know, they were also based on opposite coasts, but they were friends and they'd run into each other at different things. And I think they did some of the Apollo together in the '50s.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. There's you can find a picture on floating around the internet somewhere with a marquee, and what a packed show that was. I can't tell you all the names, but yeah, James was great, man. He got to play, at the Red Beans and Rice Festival, and my grandfather used to feature different groups, every year.
Wow.
Out at this festival. It started off as a Red Beans and Rice cook-off with this stage down in Cal State Dominguez Hills, and then from there it just expanded till we did it at Vanelli Park in San Dimas, which is this huge place like out by, you know, the Orange County border, anyway, on the east side. And it was, the oldies cars came out, you know. Then we started to bring bands like Little Richard and Ray Charles, and, you know, even some of the rock bands like Kingston Trio, the Turtles, Bowser from Sha Na Na.
sounds like it was a bit of a fun time.
Yeah. And then when James was there, it was like the ultimate blowout, cause he had the biggest group, you know, the biggest entourage,
as he should.
Yeah. It was crazy. I actually had the chance to go see Prince that day at the Hollywood Bowl. And the limo took off because Gail Mojo was with our band and she also played with Prince that night.
Oh, wow.
And so the limo was open and my mom got in it and they said, come on. And I said, I'm staying to watch James. I don't know when I'll ever be able to see him again. And so I would have never got a chance to see James again.
Well, did you ever get a chance to see Prince perform?
Yeah, in Montreux.
Okay. Well, then it sounded like it worked out, because I would have stayed. I would have only stayed to see James Brown. I mean, to choose between James Brown or Prince, like that's a really terrible decision to have.
My mother did, you know, because you know Gail's like, come on, Mercy. So they went, and it's a limo, you know.
Right.
And but she always said, oh, I wish, you know, not that I wish I would have stayed, but you know, I didn't get a chance. It's just it's the decision you make. But with James, I got to shake his hand, and he looked at me and said, hey, Johnny, you just keep popping them out, don't you? So it was one of them deals where, you know, Grandpa had a lot of kids. James had a lot of kids.
There you go. Well, let's get into some music from James Brown. We'll have something from Licking Stick, a super funky groove, a song from the Black Caesar soundtrack, Down and Out in New York City. But we'll start things off with the song Hot, I Need to Be Loved, which has a David Bowie connection. What was the name of the guitar player again?
Carlos Alomar.
Who played with both David Bowie and James Brown.
Yeah, yeah. He was with James first, left James, went to Bowie's band, and was either in a rehearsal or a session. It became a session real quick if it was just a rehearsal, because right. as soon as he played that, Bowie said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, it's something that I was working on, you know, when I was with James." He said, "We got to record that now." And John Lennon was in the room or something like that. So Fame was born. And then once they recorded that, James heard it and he said, "Oh, it's like that. Okay. So you're going to take my style and my guitar player." And so he basically mimicked the song and, changed the words. It kind of reminds me of how they do like rap disses and steal samples. But this is James Brown you're talking about. You're going to steal a sample from yourself.
Well, here's James Brown taking it back then, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, taking the funk back that he rightfully stole in the first place. Is to begin with.
Here's James Brown with "Hot." I Need to Be Loved on the Crunkadelic Funk Show, 91.3 WUKY. From the soundtrack to the film Black Caesar, that's James Brown with "Down and Out in New York City." Licking Stick before that, and we started that set off with James Brown with "Hot." I Need to Be Loved. Loved. Tell me something about Black Caesar.
You got to check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a classic. It's basically like, you know, Superfly and Ron O'Neill mm-hmm. and Curtis Mayfield, and you got, you know, Black Caesar, Fred Williamson, and James Brown. It's this whole parallel. You know, once you see one, you go, okay, that's classic in its own way, and this is basically, you know, it's a tearjerker, man. It's like Bambi's mother when she gets shot. I dare you. I don't want to spoil it, but, you know. Anyway, I just did.
It's all good. All right. Well, speaking of other classics, yesterday also marked the 50th anniversary of the release of Stand by Sly and the Family Stone, a record that in itself literally, yeah. I mean, no pun intended, stands the test of time.
Yeah. I mean, there was no funk record before it. We know that. You know, you could take like a Jimi Hendrix record or a Frank Zappa record and say, this is rock, even though it has all these things in it. You know, I talk about it all the time. But with that, it's the same thing. Sly Stone Stand, except it had such a strong beat that, you know, and rhythm that you could come up with this whole new style of playing, you know, the bass and crashing on the one, things like that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and then the arrangements, plus somehow talking about things, you know, lyrically, really breaking it down to just about everyone, you know, mm-hmm. having one of the first mixed bands, you know, they always credit Sly with having the first mixed band, this and that. I mean, but go back to Bo Diddley, if you can find some footage, and there's bands before that were mixed, but he was the one who had, you know, the women in the as far as the pop rock thing going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, May 3rd, 1969 must have been something. It was before our time, but it
yeah,
must have been something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, and 20 years before I was born. So, well, you know,
yeah.
But, mm-hmm. well, and, you know, one of the things I love about Sly is just the fact that all of his songs, even if they're like super funky and maybe super silly, there's always a message underneath it. And so I picked three songs from that record that all kind of say the same thing, but say it in very different ways. We'll have "I Want to Take You Higher," and we'll start things off with "You Can Make It If You Try," which has what I feel one of the greatest breakdowns of all time, just with the where Freddie's just playing that ding 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 ding, and then you got Greg over there just kind of digging in on the drums.
Oh yeah, you're breaking it down over there. I see.
Well, I'm just trying to get like you. That's all it is.
Oh, that's funny. Well, you know, no, you know, it's really silly. Take you know, back in the old days, you had the balance left and right. And I know you know what I'm going to say is if you go on one channel, you can either hear Freddie real loud or you don't barely hear him at all.
Yep.
Because back then they used to do these channel mix stereo mixes on left, right, and center.
Absolutely.
And
well,
I know what you're talking about at the end of that. And actually, "You Can Make It If You Try" is the bonus track, because if you think about it, Sex Machine, go look at the old record. You know,
yeah.
It's got Sex Machine as the last song. And I think "You Can Make It If You Try" is not even on it.
Wow.
So the CD, obviously, and the cassette, you know, things like that, they added it on there, and it's a great addition. It's part of the session.
Absolutely.
So, you know, yeah, well, definitely.
Well, Lucky, it's been a blast having you here, and I'm so blessed that you came and joined us, and we'll look forward to having you soon.
Yeah, let's do a remake of Black Caesar. First, you got to go see it though, and tell me what you think. Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, all right, we'll do. Hopefully, it won't be as bad as the remake of Superfly. Here's Sly and the Family Stone celebrating the 50th anniversary of the release of Stand. This is the Crunkadelic Funk Show, 91.3 WUKY.